Today, mortgage cliff crashes into rising house prices. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. The Australian Financial Review had an interesting article today titled "The Mortgage Cliff is About to Crash into Rising House Prices." And it started off by saying there's been so much said and written about the fact that billions of home loans will switch from low fixed rates to higher floating rates, we might be forgiven for believing that the threat has passed. And as Jonathan Shapiro wrote, the mortgage cliff has arrived as we enter the most restrictive interest rate settings households have ever experienced. Can the property market keep rising? When CoreLogic releases its May property data this week, it will likely show that national house prices increase for the third month in a row and at a 1.4% monthly rate, exceeding the previous 2 months. It's a property market recovery that CoreLogic's Tim Lawless said is atypical. An interest rate cut, an expansion of credit availability, or a new government policy targeting home ownership are usually the positive catalysts for a rebound. But this turnaround is defying those forces. Interest rates have increased by the fastest pace in history at a time when households have never carried more debt, while that in turn has slashed the borrowing power of prospective buyers. Lawless explained at a Fitch Ratings conference, it's economics 101. The supply is low and demand is ramping up due to a record pace of immigration and a post-pandemic desire for space. The supply is constrained on two fronts, a short-term drop in sales and the longer-term failure of housing construction to keep pace with population growth. The number of new properties listed for sale in Australia's capital cities is 14% below the five-year average, while the number of active listings is 24% below the five-year average, Lawless told the event last week. Meanwhile, new builds are falling further behind, as Rob Mead of fixed income fund manager PIMCO explained at a separate Morningstar conference. About 70,000 new households are formed every year, but the annual pace of construction is only about 40,000. The housing shortage and its social welfare consequences are an issue that most economists and policymakers are turning their attention to, but there is no simple nor quick fix. In the short term, the acute supply shortage is manifesting in several ways. One is through an upward bump in house prices that arrested the interest rate-induced decline. The other, of course, is an extremely tight rental market. Rental vacancies in the capital cities are now at 1%, well down on the 2.8% average, which in turn has led to a 16.2% jump in rents for units and a 9.7% jump in houses, according to CoreLogic. That is putting the squeeze on tenants, who, as we know, tend to be less well off on average than homeowners. But the situation is worse for landlords. While monthly rents are up about $275 in capital cities, monthly mortgage repayments are up four times that, by as much as $1,000, creating serviceability strains. And there is some potential for the pressure on rents to ease. A post-pandemic trend has been for Australians to seek more space. The average household size has slid from 2.55 to 2.49 people. But household sizes are now starting to edge up again. This, Lawless says, is out of necessity, as roommates are bought in to share the rental burden, while others may move back home. Macquarie economist Rick Derville shares a similar view on rents. In commodities markets, he said earlier this month, the cure for high prices has always been high prices, and spiraling rents could lead to changes in behaviour and an increase in average household sizes. The tighter rental market does, however, appear to be forcing buyers into the property market, adding to excess demand to own a home in a market with historically low turnover. At the higher end of the national property market, there appears to be total interest rate immunity. National Australia Bank account shows its private bank grew its mortgage book by double digits, while the mass market retail book didn't grow at all. As AMP Capital's Shane Oliver points out, the housing markets in the US, UK, Canada, Sweden and Germany are also stabilising amid a growing belief that interest rates have peaked, tighter supply, a strong jobs market and a household savings stockpile that has yet to be depleted. Lawless says his house price crystal ball is murky, but if he had to guess, they'll probably go higher from here. However, he believes the current rate of house price growth of 1 to 1.5% a month is simply unsustainable given affordability and serviceability constraints. The swing factor, he says, will be the path of interest rates. But where are those interest rates headed? Well, money markets are pricing in an implied peak rate of 4% in September, or to put another way, a better than two-thirds chance of another cash rate increase to 4.1%. Meanwhile, Reserve Bank Governor Phil Lowe is reported to be briefing politicians that interest rates will likely have to go higher and warning that further wage rises could force his hand. Lowe has been holding out hope of engineering a soft landing for the economy by raising interest rates by enough to gradually bring inflation into its target range while preserving the jobs gains of the past few years. But it seems he's now managing expectations on that front too. Lowe's task has been complicated by the surge in immigration, which is adding to the labour supply and reducing wage pressures, but is also increasing demand for housing, forcing up property prices to support consumption via the wealth effect. While evidence is only now beginning to emerge that rising rents and borrowing costs are changing households' behaviour and slowing economic activity, PIMCO's Mead suggests we're at the early stages. PIMCO, he says, has calculated that before the hiking cycle began, a cash rate of 3.5% to 4% would be the point at which households begin to really feel the squeeze. At the current setting of 3.85%, it's the highest it's been since 2012. But since then, household debt levels have increased from 120% to 145%. And meanwhile, mortgage rates relative to the cash rate have increased by about one percentage point, which means the current rate is equivalent to a near 5% setting in 2012. The higher debt levels and increased borrowing costs means we're now at the most restrictive setting Australians have experienced. This is based on a measure of interest payments to income, which will soon exceed the 2006 peak of 14%. One factor behind the delayed reaction of households has been the so-called fixed rate mortgage cliff. There has been much said and written about the fact that billions of home loans will switch from low fixed rates to higher floating rates. In fact, we may be forgiven for believing that the threat has passed, but the reality is that the bulk of those 2 to 3% home loans are only just about to roll off. By the end of the year, 50% of those cheap fixed rate loans will be refinanced, representing about 70% of the mortgages. The mortgage cliff has arrived, and only now can we truly assess the extent to which high interest rates will impact consumption. So we're about to reach a crunch point for the housing market, which seems strong on the surface, but less so below it, and for the Reserve Bank, which is dealing with a high degree of uncertainty and competing forces. It's never been wise to bet against Australian house prices, but Mead thinks it's more dangerous to put absolute faith in the Reserve Bank to come to its rescue. Mead says, if any households or businesses are somehow expecting that all they need to do is to ride out a short-term storm in terms of higher interest rates, and suddenly, miraculously, they're going to come down, I think that's a fool's paradise. And I agree with that. As I've said several times, we're only just getting into the dodgy part now of the cycle. And over the next 12 months, we're really going to see how things play out. Bearing in mind, of course, that once interest rates rise, it takes time for those high rates to be transferred into the mortgage repayments, typically a lag of 3 to 4 months. And of course, many households are still yet to switch. As I said with Edwin today in my earlier show, we're now starting to see some people worry about what's going to happen over the next 6 to 12 months simply because of these higher rates ahead. And the question, of course, is whether these pressures will be sufficient to take out any momentum from home prices, or will the migration that is driving demand and high rents also support the home price cycle? That, of course, is the big unknown. But the weight of evidence, certainly my models, suggests there's more downside risk ahead, which means that maybe home prices will rise a little, but then fall further, which, by the way, is my base case. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.